Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or dsw.com.
Listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, the Bruins putting some pressure on deep, and it's that top line again. Lindholm. With the tie-up, Tage Thompson's got a breakaway. Takes the pass. Deke scores! Tage TNT Thompson! What a goal! 5-3 Sabres!
Buffalo Sabres. They keep winning.
How are they not officially dead? Great question. I have no idea.
It's a great question. Although, with that being said, the season is now on life support. It has been.
Because the Canadians, for some reason, keep winning.
Yes. So that is their magic number. I've seen it all over Twitter now, so this is not an original thought by me, but their magic number is 2.
Blood is going to start dripping out of my ears from the anger that I have about the Sabres not solving the Montreal Canadiens, so let's not.
If Montreal wins any of their remaining games, Sabres
or
are
if the
out.
Sabres lose in regulation in Sabres, any of their games.
Yes.
It's officially over, and year 14 becomes official like a ref with a whistle.
Fun part about it, Montreal's on a 5-game win streak. The Sabres are on a 4-game win streak.
Thanks, I hate it.
Both teams are playing very, very well. And if you look at Montreal's remaining schedule, Detroit at home, at Ottawa, at Toronto, Chicago, and Carolina both at home.
Despite the fact that they settled 3 entire months into last place in the Eastern Conference, actually 4.
Mm-hmm.
4 entire months of being in last place in the Eastern Conference. They are not the first, not even the second, nor the third team eliminated in their conference. Boston, Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh all have been eliminated before Buffalo now.
Who would have thunk it? We were talking about that before we came on here today. Boston, just 2 years ago, the historic regular season.
Legitimately hilarious. Yeah.
Then they lose that opening series to Florida. And since then, it's been all downhill.
Oh, the Hurricanes helped them break their streak. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina continues to give us nothing in the world of hockey.
But it is wild to see Boston having fallen this far. I mean, they're not even just a middling team. They're atrocious.
Yeah. So the Sabres lost 13 straight. That's going to be the season best now this year because Boston had lost 10 in a row. Then Carolina goes ahead and just decides, we don't like to play hockey this day. You can have this. And ready? Watch. Tomorrow night, they're going to show up and just like beat the brakes off the Sabres for no reason.
Well, I don't like how you say it like that. I mean,
because Carolina is still a franchise that is poison to me.
It's probably going to stay for a while.
Forget about playing in Carolina, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's just always been a disaster for a decade.
They're at home, though, tomorrow.
Cool. That makes me feel somewhat better.
Been playing very well at home.
I do want them to just beat Carolina, just to beat Carolina at this point. I don't even care anymore.
21-14-3 at home, by the way, for the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah. And you've won 14 of your last 18 at home.
Mm-hmm. Flip that though on the road. They're 13-22-3.
Yeah. Road Sabres has become the new thing this year. And that's not good. I don't like that road Sabres is a bad thing because 2 years ago,
very good
funny
thing.
How 2 years ago things are so vastly different. They were great on the road, as mm-hmm. a matter of fact. And it was home when they weren't wearing the goat heads where they were an active problem.
That's right. We did have a run there with the goat heads where they wore like 7 times and they were 7-0 or whatever that was.
It was also just they couldn't win with any other jersey at
mm-hmm,
home.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't. They did the reverse retro. That didn't do so hot. They would do their normal blues. That was not going well. And then they would just so happen to be wearing those goat head jerseys, and they would be winning games, and typically in dominant fashion. It was weird.
It's been a very
and all you
season.
Could do is throw your hands up and say, that's one hell of a coincidence.
Yeah, it's been a very, very weird season.
Oh, my God, don't get
Which,
me started.
It's not really that weird for the Sabres. That's just kind of par for the course. It really is for them.
Yeah.
But they are winning at the end of the year. They've done this a few times. It is something, though, that usually they do send you on somewhat, as much as it can be, a good feeling going into the offseason.
What did I say about the end of the year? Give me things to attach to.
Mm-hmm.
UPL, not helping your case, big dog. The Sabres needed to score at least 4 again to make sure that they got away with it, because there were times where I was like, I don't know what you're doing against Boston. I had no idea where he's going on that first goal. That second goal is you're the penalty killer that needs to perform the best as a goaltender, and he's not. And I just... That said, there is a new thing to attach to. I think Zach Benson's made the jump.
Think so?
I think so. He's got that dogged determination that works perfectly for a pair of skilled players like Kulik and Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Tage's first goal is a product of Zach Benson forcing a turnover, feeding it to the slot, and Tage is open enough to be able to just, hey, I'm going to wind up and fire. Zach Benson is making the jump.
They need it.
They need it.
They do need it. Tage Thompson, though, bringing him up, 43 goals this year so far. Don't think he hits 50.
No.
That would be...
You need a goal a game.
Yeah. But 45?
It's tough.
45 to 48?
45 to 48 is beautiful, but even like 48, I would still say, is asking of much. But you get a 45-goal season out of Tage for this, and it's like, man, you have Rasmus Dahlin and Tage Thompson. How are we not building a successful roster by now?
Right.
And I think that has to do with I have zero confidence now in Lukanen, but we don't need to talk about that again.
Yep, because talking about
I'd rather not for like the third week in a row talk about Ukko-Pekka Lukanen and his struggles. I want to keep my mental health.
Yep, because talking about building a successful roster, the NFL draft is in just a few weeks. We are well and truly—
I'll give you a 7 out of 10 transition.
Thank you. We are well and truly into April. ESPN has a draft simulator.
Yes.
Which I did not know until this morning.
Oh, I found this baby, and no, this is now like PFF, you're dead to me. I have to pay for my trades? I don't think so.
Not a
shot. So now I'm bringing in a Sports Talk Saturday goodness moment here for you, as we're going to go ahead and hit us up a beautiful
mock draft simulator.
And we're going to hit ourselves a mock draft.
There we go. So I'm currently in one right now. Buffalo, I'm only going to round 4. Let's not pick like random
people. Let's not get crazy here, but at the same time, yes. I think the point of these for me on Saturdays has been to try to educate people on who are the players that are going to be typically available for you hanging around.
Yep. Through the top 10 here, Cam Ward does go to the Titans at 1 overall. A new player has entered the reports for Cleveland at 2. There was a little bit of rumblings of Abdul Carter out of Penn State for a few weeks. Now, it appears to be Travis Hunter. That's where he goes here in this mock draft. He goes to the Browns at 2. The Giants take Abdul Carter at 3. The Patriots go and get Mason Graham. I do think they would be crushed if they don't get Hunter at 2. That seems to be what everyone's sort of building this to is, hey, we like the Stephon Diggs addition. If you get Travis Hunter to kind of be your number one and plus kind of have him play it as a cornerback as well. Mason Graham, though, not a bad player by any means. Of course, he's going to the top 5 here. And he was the Batman to Kenneth Grant's Robin on that Michigan State interior defense. Jaguars go Jalen Walker, edge rusher. Raiders go Shedeur Sanders. So his drop is not really far at all, which is interesting. If that would have happened in real life, Geno Smith, we now know, is a 3-year extension with 3 years total with the Raiders.
Yes, but those things can be moved around.
Right. And so maybe that is something where, hey, we really like Geno Smith being a clear mentor for Shedeur Sanders. Geno, arguably one of the most accurate passers in all of college football, Shedeur Sanders very much throws a catchable ball. You can really kind of mold him into what you want. The athleticism seems to be sort of the issue there. Ted McMillan, the wide receiver out of Arizona, goes to the Jets. Mykel Williams, the edge rusher out of Georgia, goes to the Panthers. Will Johnson, the cornerback out of Michigan, goes to the Saints. And then Tyler Warren, the tight end out of Penn State, goes to the Bears. That is your top 10. No Ashton Jeanty just yet.
Yeah, so what are we looking at the big board here for Buffalo? If you're hitting it, hanging around 30, you have not traded up.
No.
So, when you run these sorts of things, though, the players that could be available for you, you know, players like a Kenneth Grant, Azarea Thomas, the corner out of Florida State, the safeties like Nick Amonwori out of South Carolina or Malachi Starks out of Georgia. Typically, one of them is hanging around there. Maxwell Hairston, corner out of Kentucky, is another one of those players that's very popular to be talking about right now. Something in the ESPN draft that I've seen very fascinating is James Pierce, the edge rusher out of Tennessee, typically is making a fall.
His seems to be more maturity issues. Mm-hmm. Those have been becoming the reports of not great, although his athletic abilities, his traits, will not be surprised at all to find out that is more a team at the bottom of the first round going, we want him just to get a little bit closer to us, a little bit closer
yes.
to us. That seems to be what it is, because there was, at least from what I've seen, no reports. There was nothing on it up until about a month ago.
And ready? Smokescreen season.
Yep.
A team trying to deliberately tank a stock so that they can go ahead and try to get it.
We know, in fact, that is the thing.
And that's where, now ready? Start familiarizing yourself with James Pierce if that's going to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
If he does get to like 22, 23, a team like the Bills, that is a perfect opportunity to trade up for an edge rusher like James Pierce Jr. Other guys like Donovan Azaraku out of Boston College at edge is another great option here for you. So who do we got here on the Zach Jones mock draft on the big board?
All right, so following the next 10 picks, some of the notable ones, the 49ers take Jahdae Barron, the cornerback out of Texas. Two safeties have gone as well. The Falcons take Nick Amonwori at 15. Malachi Starks goes to the Bengals at 17.
Ouch.
And before that, the Cowboys do the most Cowboy move ever.
Oh, love it.
They take Ashton Jeanty.
Yes, of course.
Also, Omarion Hampton, the second running back off the board, goes to the Broncos at 20. So we're at 21 with the Steelers. I find this to be the spot where the Bills could trade up.
Yes.
I think this is where the actual idea of maybe trading up begins.
If the quarterbacks fall into a certain place in order for the Steelers, or if they don't, they are a viable candidate to move down.
Do we want to try to trade up with Pittsburgh, or do we want to let this play out a little bit more?
I'd say let the next two picks happen.
Okay. All right. So the Steelers do go exactly where I think they're going to go.
They took Jackson Dart.
Absolutely.
So that's perfect, because now you're thinking, all right, that's a player that your board was not even close to thinking about is gone.
I think another player the Bills were not thinking about, the Chargers at 22, Emeka Buka, the wide receiver out of Ohio State. I do not think wide receiver is an early need for the Bills at all.
And
I am looking more at late second round, or if you trade into the third round there.
If you need a corner, the Packers were the team that you got to at least talk to or vault.
All right, so let's see if we can make a trade with the Packers. Obviously, we'll
that's
be trading
the point,
them
the point
30th.
Of using this now on ESPNs is you can do your trades for free. Mm-hmm.
Now, I do want to see if we can do this here. The Bills do have 2 fourth-round picks, 109 and 132. I'm going to see. There we go. 30 and 109 for pick 23.
I do like having that early fourth, so I'd try to be giving 132 instead.
All right, let's see if like 132 works. 132 does not work.
Well, then throw in one of those 4 fifth-rounders or 3 fifth-rounders that they have.
I'm throwing in the lowest fifth-rounder.
177, or was that 173?
173. 177 is in the sixth round. Okay. 173 did not get it done. 170 does not get it done.
169
does get it done.
All right, do it.
All right, so Bills will be moving up to pick 23 in exchange for pick 30. 132 in the fourth round, and then 169 in the fifth round.
Which
so
then allows
we are now
that,
up.
So the Bills aren't making 10 selections. We all knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the exercise to make sure that that's what happens.
So, who we've got on the big board, as you mentioned, James Pierce, the edge rusher out of Tennessee. You also have Jahd Campbell, the linebacker out of Alabama. Not really going to be there as well.
A player I'd know be looking more like. At positions that mm-hmm. we'd want. I don't look at the big board necessarily at like the best player available at this point, because mm-hmm. best player available is probably going to be something that they need anyway.
Right. So, player I know you're a big fan of, Shamar Stewart out of A&M.
Yes.
Mike Green, the Marshall edge rusher, someone I'm a big fan of. I do not think he's going to be
there. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be there either.
He is an explosive athlete that got a lot of sacks at Marshall, showed out at the Senior Bowl and the Combine. I don't imagine he's going to be there. Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle out of Oregon. I mm-hmm. do know One Bills Live host Chris Brown is a massive fan of his.
Harmon on the scouting report, they seem to think that he's been fit for more of a three-tech role,
mm-hmm.
which kind of like dissuades me from taking Harmon, but I know that he's going to be a good player in his own right at that point.
Yep. Now, I do wonder, because of how deep the defensive tackle class is, do you go to the cornerbacks? We already have Jahdae Barron and Will Johnson, and if you want to count them, Travis Hunter, gone. That's where you're getting in Maxwell Hairston out of Kentucky. How do you say the Florida State
player? Azare Thomas.
Trey Amos. I know Benjamin Morrison and Siobhan Revelle are two guys as well.
Those are like later second round type guys.
So what are you thinking? Where are we going?
Well, if you wanted a corner, you make that move, because Green Bay is absolutely a team that is threatening to take a corner.
Mm-hmm. The highest one on the big board is Maxwell Hairston.
And I would probably say Hairston. Let's go ahead and make Hairston the pick. We've got a lot to get to here.
I think I just got kicked out of the mock draft. I got kicked out of the mock draft.
I love that the "oh yeah" happened there from the track. Right,
I'm going to try to do this again. All right, so Maxwell Hairston, he's a guy, good tackler, seems to be a very good athlete. I think this is where the Bills would have to go anyways.
Yes, if they want to get a corner and solidify having the opportunity to, moving up for a player like that is absolutely an option. Or if you want one of those pass rushers and you know you need to take an opportunity to move up,
mm-hmm.
that is where you're going to have to do it.
Yeah, I don't see the Bills trading up for defensive tackle. I just don't. There's too much depth in the class. There's too many guys they can go get in one of their second round picks. As we've mentioned, we haven't even traded those guys yet. They're still very much available. So it kind of feels like if you're going to trade up, you're
probably doing it for an edge rusher.
Yeah.
Because you could trade down into the second round.
Oh, so you think an edge rusher then?
Yeah. For me, it's got to be edge rusher if you're moving up. Corner is deep, and you can probably fall back into the second round, which I know everyone would be driven insane about it to do it for a second year in a row. But if you want a corner and you want to try to add more value and in particular try to get that third round pick or ammunition to move into the third round,
mm-hmm.
that's the right move.
All right, so there were a little bit of differences here in this rerun that we're doing. Guys like Nick Emmanuel are available. James Pierce is available. Mike Green, of course. Maxwell Hairston. So, all right, where do you want to go with this pick? Are you thinking James Pierce?
I'm thinking James Pierce at that point.
Okay.
Or if Mike Green is sitting there, you do it. But you said that he just went, and that's perfectly fine and normal.
It's loading.
Yep. That's the one thing, is that this, when you make the pick, it takes time to load, but it's perfectly fine.
Where are we sitting on that Thursday night? If it's a guy like Mike Green or James Pierce,
if they trade up for an edge rusher, I'm ecstatic, because they got Joey Bosa, but that's a 1 year deal,
right? And there's the injury fears with them.
Yeah,
you won't necessarily even have them for a full year.
But also, it would help you set up for the long term on the position.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, please sign me up for that. Give me an opportunity to have a player like that for my long term, and I'm very happy.
Okay, so we're at pick 44. It's the Cowboys. We have had two cornerbacks go here to start round two. The Eagles took Maxwell Hairston to end round one. Benjamin Morrison then went to the Patriots at 38. Siobhan Revelle just went to the 49ers at 43. Is this a spot where you want to try to trade up in the second round, or are you kind of just holding pat, we're going to just pick in the second round here?
I would still just say pick in the second round. There's going to be a lot of options still.
Okay. Jalen Knoll going to the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
There you go. Are you on slow?
I am on slow.
That's probably why.
All right, okay. So we have options here. Trey Amos.
Trey Amos, perfect.
The cornerback out of Ole Miss. He is somebody I don't know if people would love taking him in the first round,
mm-hmm.
but if he's there in the second round, I think for many people that would be the easy get it done.
Yes, go get it done.
Now, in terms of our next pick, I think the answer is probably pretty easy here in terms of what you need and where the board has fallen for you. Defensive tackle TJ Sanders out of South Carolina, or staying with defensive tackle Joshua Farmer out of Florida State. I think either one of those two would be a really good get for you in the second round.
I think Farmer's a good get there, especially with the depth at defensive tackle. As you were saying, do we do that here? And it's like, no, absolutely not. That's why. But I think Amos, for positional value, is probably the better idea here. Because your pick, your next pick, is very close by. I'd imagine you can get Farmer heading around. Amos, I don't think, stays.
Yeah, so that's where it's like, well, wait. You'll wait on Farmer. Or as it was, TJ Sanders was there, too. So you had two options there if you want to go. I think Farmer, though, has a pre-draft visit with the Bills, if I remember correctly. So that makes sense there. Now it becomes interesting. Do you trade into the third round? And for what position? You have edge, corner, and defensive tackle. Safety is arguably a need. You, depending on who you ask, wide receiver's a need. Or do you just kind of hold on and go, we'll just pick in the fourth round? That's not – that doesn't appear to be what the team does. They don't make fourth-round selections often.
They don't.
It's the third round that they do.
And the third-round pick is typically what you want to try to get yourself back into.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're at the Cowboys 76. Had a few guys taken already. No real run on wide receivers at this point yet. Let's look at the big board. Let's see who's available. In terms of safeties, I know a guy you're a big fan of. Jalen Reed out of Penn State.
Yep. No, Kevin Winston's the guy that
Kevin
I
Winston.
Want out of Penn State.
All right, so now I'm kind of wondering about safety.
At safety, at that point, I'm pretty sure you're just letting it ride at this point for a little bit.
Now, wide receiver, much more interesting.
There's a lot of options.
Jack
typically.
Beck, Jalen Royals, Isaiah Bond.
Go ahead, do it.
Let's make a trade with Dallas, so it'll be...
Oh, I thought you were going to take your Texas wide receiver.
Oh, I haven't traded up yet. We're in the third round. We're not there yet.
Okay.
All right, so pick 76. And then what do we got here? We got 109, 170, 173, 177, and 206. I think 109, your best fourth round pick.
Yes.
And then do you want to go 173? Oh, well, then I'm going to take that.
Yeah, it might be tough.
Yeah, this is where it gets interesting.
Yeah. It gets a little fascinating.
Do you go 170 in the fourth round, and then next year's? Man, they don't want to trade up at all.
Go find a different team then.
Wow.
Jerry's getting in your way.
I could give you the rest of my draft, and Dallas is like, no, I'm cool.
Yeah.
I'm all right. I won't do that.
Jerry, stop. But the Bills do have a lot to jump through to get into the third round if they don't trade down.
Well, especially because your next pick is a while away.
Yes.
All right, we're at pick 81 Bengals.
I would suspect the Bills are going to trade down with one of their second-round picks at this point this year.
You think so?
Yes. Because then you can at least get the value needed to move around in the third round.
Making me really wonder about trading into the third round. I mean, now a lot of these guys have been taken as well. Jalen Royals goes to the Broncos. Isaiah Bond goes to the Seahawks. The Seahawks take two receivers in this draft. Jack Beck goes to the Cardinals. Well,
it makes sense. You traded DK.
Yeah. But this is now it sort of is feeling like you just wait till the fourth round. Because there was really no one necessarily you needed to trade up for. I think what they would want to go in the third round is who is the last guy we had like a second round pick on. Second round grade on. And try to go get him.
And see. It's more of a reactionary thing.
Fourth round. Oh. Top player. Cam Scatabo. Do they do it?
Which would be an interesting storyline heading into day three for us.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be looking at it. Cam Scatabu was probably your biggest name recognition.
I'll go with, to finish this out here, Jalen Reed, the safety out of Penn State. Not the one they necessarily wanted, but the highest rated safety on this big board. Mm-hmm. They do have a positional need there. I don't think wide receivers just up there, especially with what this draft class is. They don't necessarily need to go there. They can wait it out. I like the idea of Jalen Royals or an Isaiah Bond, who they have brought in on a pre-draft visit. But if ultimately no one's willing to trade with you, there's no reason to force it either. I mean, I'd be having to give away most of this draft and then a pick next year, and there's just no reason for that.
It's tough to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. The music, I think, is the most important part of Mock Draft Simulator.
I'm so curious if a guy like James Pierce falls. I really am curious if he falls. because he's an athletic specimen you kind of want to have there.
Yeah. There's a lot to this draft and a bevy of directions and options that they can go in.
By the way, I like this here too. So ESPN does this thing afterwards.
Yeah, it shows you the chance available at the pick and the chance available if they were not taken.
Real quick, before we take our next time out, I do want to run through that. So Pierce, bringing that up here. Chance available at the pick, 23. We had to trade up there. 96%. Chance after the pick, 3.
Yeah, it's you go up and get them.
Trey Amos, you brought this up with him. Chance available at the pick, 20%.
Right.
A little surprised he's there. Available at the next pick, 11%. Yep. Likely whoever's there
chances
is going to
dip.
Take him. Yep.
It's more or less you go get the guy.
Yeah.
I think that's what the percentages kind of encourage you to do with that.
And then Joshua Farmer, also you mentioned there, you could probably get him on the go around. Exactly what it was. Chance available at the pick, 67%. Chance available at the next pick, 6%. And then for Jalen Reed, we're getting to the later stages.
We're getting to the later stages, so like those percentages can fluctuate as they would.
No percentage at the next pick, 58 at the pick.
And that is your latest
Mock Draft Simulator.
Who are your favorite targets for this upcoming draft? We are in the dying days of draft preparation as we are just a little over 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And if you want to join the show, 803-0550 is the number to call. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Clear
Carter back out, and the bouncing ball goes into the open net, and Matt Vence will get the goal. So from one goal crease to another, goaltender Matt Vence scores for Buffalo on an empty net with 55.4 seconds remaining.
Saturday was a really fun day. That's Matt Vence scoring a goalie goal for the Buffalo Bandits, who stop a two-game slide, officially clinch a home playoff game in the first round of the NLL playoffs, and remain in first place in the National Lacrosse League. I'm Derek Kramer, that's Zach Jones. John Gertler on that call for you, by the way, as this is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. The Bandits stop a slide. UB women cut down the nets. The Sabres beat Tampa.
I was going to say they keep winning.
No, I know, but like...
They keep winning.
Like,
it's Tampa.
It was a fun Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
Good, yeah.
Like, it was a fun Saturday. You beat Tampa, too. Like, yeah, Jonas Johansson started in net, but still...
Got it done.
You allowed only two goals to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Take that.
Final Four has been very exciting. We get the wrap-up there tonight.
Final Four was on that Saturday as well. Saturday was a really good sports day. And for Buffalo, a successful one.
Mm-hmm. Very successful one.
I will say it's nice, though, knowing that you have different aspects to this. And it was nice that the Bandits got off the slide that they were on, because ever since they had a chance to officially clinch a home playoff game, they lost two straight by one goal each.
Yeah.
And three of their four losses this year have been one goal.
The only team in Buffalo that didn't have a good weekend was the Bisons, and it's because their games kept getting rained out.
Yeah.
Like, their games eventually got canceled.
So it's not even about being on the field.
They're the only ones.
It's not even about being on the field. It's the weather.
Yeah. Every game was like, it'll be a doubleheader. Eh, maybe not. Maybe not.
We'll have to punt that to later date.
Never. To never. I think the games are just outright canceled now.
Jeez.
Not great.
That's rough. That is rough.
But yeah. Overall, and very good sports weekend for Buffalo.
I don't understand why baseball is now starting in, like, March.
That's...
It's kind of, like, mystifying to me because, like,
weather
up in northern cities, if you don't have a dome, you're not going to play.
Well, and
the
decent
Rockies
chance.
Played in snow over the weekend, too.
Yes,
right.
They did.
That's right.
Like, there's a decent chance that you're not playing games to start the year.
Well, I guess that's my thing, too. Like, I know baseball is always going to have the long season. I get it. 162
games. Yes,
you
do have
games.
To pace it out proper. You're absolutely right.
But also, do we have to play 162 games? Do we have to? We could start middle of April.
Can reduce the games a little bit, snip it a little bit.
That's my thing. It's like, because I'm all for October baseball. I think there is something truly
picturesque
about, like,
October baseball.
Yeah, when the playoffs are happening and yeah, the northern cities start to get a little colder.
It's
and,
called the fall classic.
Yes, it can stay. Season can start a little later. It starts a little later.
Do an even 100. Why 162?
Ready? 150. Mm.
I guess.
100,
because
yeah,
that's an even number.
150.
Yeah.
You want a clean number? 150.
Yeah, and we get into April, and we're good.
It's still a lot of games.
It's still a lot, but that's baseball. Baseball, I don't want to ever have them go too close to NHL, NBA, where it's like.
Yeah, you're cutting the season in almost half.
And to be fair,
I also 62 games off the schedule. That's an aggressive ask. You start small. You go, hey, we're going to take a dozen here. And we're just going to make them go away. You guys will still play 150 games and have legitimate shots at records.
There it is. That was the big thing for me is,
but
I
also,
don't want to take away record opportunities.
12
forever.
Is still asking for a lot for record opportunities.
Yes.
It's asking a lot. That said, the way that hitting has improved and the science and technology of the bats and swinging styles and techniques has improved, it kind of is like this great equalizer of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if you were to trim games off of this, say you trim off 8 games even, which gives you just an even more awkward number of 154.
Yep.
It still gives you something. You want to give people a fair shake on trying to break records still, especially in a sport where you're seeing other sports add games to their schedules.
Yeah.
Particularly the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think asking to cut a drastic amount of games, even 12 is like a heavy ask. But if you want to keep an even number, 150 sounds like a perfect amount. And you start in April.
That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Because it can be very frustrating to watch teams like Boston and the Yankees and you look at their stadiums and you're like, oh, There's no one there. It's because it's 45 degrees. And it's a Wednesday.
Yeah, it's 45 degrees at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday. What did you expect?
Like, no one's going
to
be there.
Welcome back to why I'm questioning how do they have this money to hand out to players. Because
don't ask the questions.
Because there. I'm seeing like
do not ask the questions.
I'm seeing like maybe 8,000 people on a Wednesday afternoon.
Right.
It's like, okay, how are you doing this? I don't know.
I have enjoyed watching baseball though. To start this year, I've really enjoyed it. Not just because the Angels are good. Like I'm pushing myself to stick with it.
Right.
Like, even if the Angels are out, stick with it and what have you. Like the NL West looks to be amazing. Forget about the Rockies. Whatever. No one cares.
The Rockies Giants, be like, okay.
Yeah, the Giants, the Padres, the Dodgers, all awesome. All awesome this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I can get there. Toronto gets the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. extension done. Still hasn't hit a homer yet. I mean, we're getting there with him. That contract might end up being a little
funny how 2 years works. Because Toronto was looking like they were going to set themselves up with that core that we watched mm-hmm. in Buffalo. And now it's like, make the pain end.
But – there's some for me like I want
or
to
like, it
was stick
like
with
outright
baseball.
Refusal to get pitching staff. Thanks, guys.
Well, that'll do it too.
Thanks,
but
guys.
I want to stick with baseball. And partially, we mentioned in the first hour too. I'm not the biggest NBA fan, but I typically watch the playoffs.
Right.
I can't say I'm gonna this year. I can't say I really ultimately care all that much because I have become very jaded towards how it's covered, and it really has frustrated me to the point where I'm like. The league seemingly doesn't care that Oklahoma City and Cleveland are their two best teams record-wise in their conference. Yeah.
How
so why should I?
How it is covered is absolutely a travesty. And I think the other part of it, though, is when you are allowing more teams to play postseason than the NHL does, that's bad. It's
oh,
not
so
good for your product.
You're not a fan of the play-in tournament.
No.
Okay.
Why should I watch a sub-500 team that is just not good. You're sub-500 for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Try to have a chance to survive to become cannon fodder in the first round. Because that's what they're playing for.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing for the 8 seed.
Yeah.
And say an 8 seed who had to fight and claw and get their way into the playoffs. Say they have one bad day. And it's one bad day. It's not a series. It's a bad day. They're done.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why are we allowing mediocrity to thrive? That's the problem.
You could say the same thing in the NFL, too, with the addition of the 7 seed.
The 7 seed has done that. But also, oftentimes, the 7 seed is a winning record.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yep.
They often show that they don't belong, save for one time. Thank you, Dallas, for choking that one out. But the Mavericks are 38-41. 41. That officially tells me right now you are not a winning basketball club. Mm-hmm. Because you are... you have at minimum already lost half of your games. And teams 7 through 10. Minnesota with Anthony Edwards, as you talked about. You have one bad day. Gone.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the difference between the 8 and the 9 seed. 46-32 for the 7 and 8 seeds for the records. 38 wins for both the 9 seed and the 10 seed. And those two teams are going to be able to fight to survive? No, you have zero business being here.
Yeah.
Those teams are 8 wins away from a wild card, officially.
But yet they're allowed to play in a tournament.
They're allowed to play
in the 7th and 8th team.
No, not even a tournament. They're allowed to play postseason basketball.
Mm-hmm. While the 7th seed and the 8th seed team get punished for it.
As a matter of fact,
I remember when this was coming around.
As a matter of fact, the 5 seed and the 6th seed are also the same record.
Yeah, so really everyone's – it's pretty close. It's pretty close.
Denver is one drop-off, one quick little drop-off from being in danger of the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
We're allowing the Kings and the Mavericks to be here for what reason? The way basketball has gone is bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad. And ratings, like, again, it's mediocrity defined.
Well, yeah. Well, and especially, too, their TV contracts are set. No one cares. They're getting their money.
Yeah.
It's not like they're in danger. And I think that was a big thing brought up during the Four Nations and the All-Star Tournament where everyone's like, they don't care. They've got their TV contracts. They're good. They're fine. They're set. But you do wonder on a sport that seemingly, while never was going to touch the NFL, was clearly cementing it not that long ago, was clearly setting itself up to be the number two sport in America.
Now, ready?
It seemingly has completely lost it.
The Eastern Conference does often reward mediocrity with their 7 or 8 seed. And they have for years.
Sure.
And when I say years, I mean decades.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were times where, like, a floundering Pistons or Nets team.
Orlando, never forget.
Would flounder their way into an 8 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, it's the same thing. I've got the Magic at 40 losses, Atlanta at 41 losses, and then your 9 and 10 are still 2 games behind that.
Yeah, they're essentially, they're all the same club, though.
Those are all the same club.
Mm-hmm.
So the East does oftentimes let mediocrity thrive, but the West typically does not.
No.
The West is oftentimes, historically, deeper. And we're letting the Kings and Mavericks play basketball in the postseason because they wanted to keep the ratings around after doing this as a COVID thing at first. The NHL didn't keep it. Why did you?
It is interesting to see where
I'll tell you why. It's because LA was there at one point.
Yeah. They were really bad.
They were really bad.
Then they got good.
LA with LeBron was there
a
couple years back.
Yep.
There was no way you're getting rid of it now. We need to protect our Bron.
But like even stuff they do in season, the in-season tournament, who cares?
Who cares?
Like, what is that?
It was supposed to be something that you could give a little bit more of, like, okay, maybe there's a way to try to bring some excitement to early season basketball.
But funny enough, like we just talked about baseball going down from 162 games to 150. Basketball and the NHL, I can maybe argue the same thing of like 82 to like 70, 72. But NHL, those players constantly are playing.
Yes.
They're not sitting. I'm not hearing all the time about, well, you know.
Load management.
Load management. We got to make sure. NBA, it's not that at all. NBA, the regular season is such a waste of time.
Yes.
For everybody. Where the NHL, people cared because of the All-Star break, which ultimately ended up being the Four Nations. But people care because of the record chases and such. Where it seems like we brought up in the first hour, the NBA, no one cared.
The way it's
no
covered.
No one cared.
I think it's the way it's covered. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. You've hammered it there. It's kind of embarrassing.
To the point now where, as you mentioned, if it's not Boston and LA, you're going to have somebody on ESPN bitching and moaning because how dare Cleveland
or
decide
the
that they're going to be good.
The Knicks.
Or the Knicks. How dare they decide that they're going to also try to be good. It's just it's such a weird sport now with how it's covered and how
and there,
there's
more
no
to do
torch
with,
passing. There's none of it.
That has more to do with ESPN than anything.
Sure.
Because TNT, they try to actually do a good job with that. And oh, by the way, you're losing that show.
Yeah, the one positive thing that
the one
like
positive
everyone
thing
agrees
that NBA
on.
Coverage is the one that's being bought out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here until 12 o'clock as we get you over to Sabres Live in just about 15 minutes. You're listening to WGR.
Welcome back. Last segment here of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I'm Derek Kramer. That's Zach Jones. And Josh Schmidt on the board. He and I have had a very fun time over the break here finding you a list of the goaltenders that Alex Ovechkin played and did not score against because the record breaker took one off of that list. Ilya Sorokin of the New York Islanders headed into that game on Sunday afternoon being one of the few that had played against Alex Ovechkin and not been scored against. One power play goal later, Ovechkin has the record, and he is off of that honored list. The Russian Machine Never Breaks, a site that follows the Washington Capitals, has the list of players that have faced an Ovechkin shot and never surrendered a goal. I can tell you this right now. There are a pair of Buffalo, former or current Buffalo Sabres, three. I have two former Buffalo Sabres, one current Buffalo Sabre that have faced a shot from Alex Ovechkin and not surrendered a goal.
Who we got?
We've got Michael Neuwirth.
With the most shots faced.
With the most shots faced of 9 games played, 25 shots against, 0 goals. Good for Michael Neuwirth.
Giddy up.
Sabres legend Jocelyn Thibault.
Sabres legend Jocelyn Thibault.
One game, five shots. And then the current Sabre is?
Devin Levi faced four Ovechkin shots and has yet to yield a goal. Why did we look this up? Because Curtis Joseph on Twitter, he of former Leafs and Wings glory, and a couple other teams, but he was still one of the better goaltenders you'd seen back in the day, tweeted out, congrats to the goals, greatest goal scorer of all time, Alex Ovechkin, feeling very lucky to not have been a part of it. And Budweiser Canada sent him a limited edition can, and it says 0 of 8.95.
That's so good.
So here are a couple other of your interesting names here, Curtis Joseph being there on that list there. Joey DeCord of the Seattle Kraken is on this list. Kevin Lankinen has faced 14 shots in three games. Vitek Vanacek, a former Caps goalie, I would imagine they're going to have a slight edge in this. Same with Braden Holtby. He played Ovechkin one time in his career because mostly his career was with the Washington Capitals. That's how they end up with, you know, their Stanley Cup. Mandy Fernandez, former Wild goaltender, is on this list. Manny Legace. Three games, 14 shots allowed, zero goals. But yes, your Alex Ovechkin champ is a former Caps goaltender in Michael Neuwirth.
That is awesome.
Nine games outside of Washington where he had to play Ovechkin as an opponent. Zero goals on 25 shots.
Here's a real question. How many of those were Sabres games?
No.
No, unfortunately, no time.
I can't find that in 40 seconds.
Also, real quick, we had a listener, Steve, tweet in as well, talking about the Ovi record. Did bring up a name who, if injuries did not get in the way,
probably does it.
Stats say probably does it. That Mike Bossy of the Islanders, just going through his career, he played from his age 21 season to his age 30 season. His NHL 82-game average would have been 62 goals a season
for Ovechkin. Tank teams.
For Ovechkin, who now has the record, of course. Throughout his career, his 82-game average would be 49 goals per season. Derek, you have mentioned it a lot. Like these past few years, he's had a tough run, but what could have been? That's going to do it for us. Coming up next, Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout-out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.